Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Porpoise Pod with your hosts, Brendan Tobin and Alejandro Solano.
Porpoise Pod, swimming on here, getting ready for a Week 5 matchup against the New York Jets. Miami Dolphins are 3.5-point favorites on the road. Getting ready. You excited to see that MetLife takeover, dude?
Yeah, I am. Bro, Dolphins fans in New York are insane. Like, yeah. It's crazy. It is crazy how many Dolphins fans are up here. And great story from last year, Tobin. So, Dolphins in New York, broadcast team is up here. And Jason Taylor misses the broadcast bus from the hotel to go to the stadium. Totally misses the bus. So he has to jump in an Uber by himself. And he's calling like Joe Rose. Hey, hold the bus. Hold the bus. I'm in the elevator. Hey, we got a police escort, JT. Like, yeah, wow. I know you're JT. I know you're the Hall of Famer. Police escort's not waiting for anybody, unfortunately. So the bus driver's like, I got to go. And we're telling him, yo, this is the Hall of Famer. You got to wait for the Hall of Famer.
JT.
Bus driver just hits it.
Wow. So
JT gets in an Uber and they drop him off at, you know, the Uber lot. They're not taking him in. The Uber doesn't have credentials to get into the stadium. So Jason Taylor has to walk from the Uber lot through all the fans, and it's mother bleeping Jason Taylor. He told us it took him like an hour from the Uber lot just to get to the stadium because every single person in that parking lot at the tailgate recognized him. And guess where he happened to walk right through? Dolphin takeover.
Wow.
The MetLife takeover.
So wait, so he was doing, like, Jason Taylor was stopping for selfies?
I don't know if he was stopping. I mean, he's a professional. So he knew he had to get up to the booth to at least make it for when the broadcast starts, like 20 minutes before kickoff. But I just love the idea of Jason Taylor trying to blend in with the commoners as he's walking through the one place in the world where everybody would recognize him, a Dolphins-Jets game in New York.
I feel like Jason Taylor in that move, like, if everybody wants a picture with him, he's just got to gather the Dolphins around, group picture, one shot. Like one. Mike McDaniel did with the media the first day. Just like once out, JT takes it, everybody, hey, y'all got me, I got to go.
Yeah,
it'll be late.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
The JT selfie. Yeah.
All right. So this injury report that came out on Thursday, I would say the most concerning thing for it is Tyreek Hill, because that's the first time he's been on the injury report this year. He was limited in practice with a quad injury. We haven't seen him on there so far. We know that he had cramps in one of the games. Jalen Waddle remains on there. He's still dealing with the groin. He was limited in practice. Xavien Howard did not practice. I don't know if that's a bubble wrap thing. I don't know what to read. We know that he's not 100%, but they have had a lot of days off by the time they get to game day. Same thing with Teron Armstead. He doesn't really practice.
That's going to be Tobin. Let's be real. Teron Armstead's not going to practice this year.
No.
He's just not going to practice, and then he's going to go out there. He'll play like a stud because that's what he does.
That is
and
what he does.
I'm kind of feeling like Xavien Howard is getting that similar treatment. Pro bowler, he's your best player on the defense. What's more important, Xavien Howard getting reps in practice versus River Craycraft, or Xavien Howard being healthy for game day? So that one's not too concerning, other than the fact that he's been banged up. I get it, and I understand some people were taking issue with the way, not that he got abused, but definitely the Bengals had their way with X on a couple plays.
Sure.
And I'm fine with him not playing if it means he's going to be ready on Sundays.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, what you said it, dude. Like, what does the cornerback need to practice in tandem with anybody for? He has one job. He roves on the best receiver. Like, that's what he does. Like, there's no communication that needs. And look, you know he's playing hampered. I mean, it's so clear. Even just the idea that he's like, how many pick sixes has he? He's dropped like two pick sixes. It feel like he's dropped four interceptions. That's not Xavien Howard, dude. Like, he is just. He's a monster when it comes to getting the football. And so you just can tell he's not himself. So he is battling through some things. I give him props on that, but you need him out there. I mean, this is already a depleted secondary with, you know, you're playing undrafted rookies. And look, Kader Coe is playing great. Nick Needham's doing decent, but like, this is where you're at right now because Byron Jones doesn't look like he's coming back anytime soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Byron Jones. That one's weird to me too, Tobin, because man, it felt all off season, not that the Dolphins were upfront about it, but it felt from Mike McDaniel and the defensive coaching staff kind of felt like he would be ready for week one. And then, you know, right before week one, he's on the PUP list and now he should be off, or he is off the PUP list, but he's still not ready. So that one is kind of weird to me. You know, I kind of raise an eyebrow at it.
Yeah. Because I mean, do we know what it is? It's an Achilles? Is that what he got done? Like that some lower leg thing? They're not really
right.
Like, you never know how that stuff's gonna heal. He's not like a super young guy, and so like, you know, some guys can bounce back from stuff, you know, quickly. Like, you know, some people are freaks. Like, you know, James Robinson from the Jaguars came back from an Achilles injury. He's, you know, amazing, but like some people, it takes a long time for you to bounce back on stuff like that. So. I don't know what to make of Byron Jones, dude. You know, like there was talk that he wasn't going to come back with him because he was going to be a cap, you know, a cap casualty. Right. And, you know, then he gets the surgery, guarantee that money. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of that. I don't know if you can, I don't know if we can hold our breath that Byron Jones, because even if he does come back, I think he gets like 21 days to ramp up. It's not like he comes back and boom, he's ready to go. Boom, you're ready to go play. So I don't know. Maybe that's not something we can count on anytime soon.
And it, probably not. But I will say it is a little concerning because as well as Kader Cahoo's played, Nick Needham, you know, he's always going to be solid. Let's be real, Tobin. This defense is designed to have two dynamic cornerbacks on each side.
Yeah.
And how long can the Dolphins, truthfully, I'm not hating on Kader and Nick Needham and obviously X. Like, you know what you're going to get from him at some point in this season. Once he's healthy, you know he's going to be the most dynamic player on the field. But how long can the Dolphins survive with a depleted backfield, right? Like, it's tough. You want the guys that you brought in, and you know, not having them out there. I'm just wondering. At some point, it's going to be an issue, and it hasn't been yet. But at some point, you know, it will be.
Yeah, and to that end, like, it's not. As much as we say the schedule is softening up, and I guess theoretically it is, like, you know, the Jets are more explosive. Vikings have a ton of weapons. The Lions have the number one offense in the league right now, crazy enough. So.
And the worst defense.
Right. But, like, it's not like it's going to get any easier anytime soon for this, this secondary. So it's going to be an interesting thing to definitely check out. But for me, was good to see that Cedric Wilson looks like he is fully practicing. So that was exciting to see because I don't feel like he's really splashed yet. Like I think, you know, before all the Tyreek Hill mania happened, and understandably so, you know, people were excited to see what Cedric Wilson was going to bring to the table. I don't think we've really felt that impact quite yet.
Yeah, really the biggest play he's had a couple receptions, but right before Jalen Waddle, week one, caught that pass and took it to the house. It was Cedric Wilson on whatever it was, 3rd and 22, set up the 4th and 10. He was able to bring in a ball that it was a good play. Like, he brought that ball down and set up the play for the Dolphins rather than having to punt the ball before the half, set it up so that Tua can hit the old dime ski right up the middle to Jalen Waddle. So I'm with you.
Yeah,
like, I want to see. Yeah. Good times.
That was good time. I miss you, Tua. I miss you so much.
Is Tobin, what's your gut telling you about Tua, by the way? I don't know if we're going to get to that later, but
I don't know. Well, see, I don't know how much we want to touch on in the pod because, like, I figure we're going to have to probably pod whenever this investigation drops, right? Like,
right.
Because I feel like unfortunately, whatever comes out of that is almost going to dictate when he comes back, because I feel like there's going to be damage control for it, right or wrong. Although I thought Jalen Ramsey made a good point. You know, it's funny hearing the stars of this league talk about it. And, you know, they're all young and on top of the world. So, you know, they don't have this feeling like it is ever going to hurt. And also, you know, he plays cornerback. I don't know how many cornerbacks have ever been mired with CTE or anything like that. But, you know, Jalen Ramsey made an interesting point about, like, T. Higgins. Same thing happened to him going to that Thursday night game where he had the concussion. He goes, yeah, but he balled out. Like, he killed in that game. And nobody's talking about it. And I thought that was a good point. And then Joe Burrow, he comes out on Colin Cowherd's show, and he's like, oh, yeah, I've, like, forgotten half of games. But them's the breaks. Like, that's what I signed up for, which is a really real thing to say. But, you know, I don't know how that plays into, you know, this getting CNN coverage and ABC coverage and all that. Because, yes, football is barbaric, and we lie to ourselves about what they're actually doing out there. And we're okay with them going and playing a football game on 3 days' notice.
Wolf Blitzer was doing around-the-clock coverage on Tua Tagovailoa.
He really was. Miami Dolphins. Crazy. He was. I was like, really? All right. Wolf Blitzer. Here he is.
And you're right, by the way. We'll definitely pod as soon as, you know, the investigation, all the details are released. But from what we're seeing, the most recent reports from the time you and I are recording this, there seems to be a disagreement between the NFL and the NFLPA, which isn't a surprise. So it's going to be really interesting to see what comes from this.
I just want to know, what is the Dolphins' punishment here? Like, you're going to have to tell me, like, I'm serious about this. I'm going to have to see Tua wobbling like this, Mike McDaniel saying, thumbs up, he's good, and they throw the helmet on him and push him out the door for me to, like, say, oh, anybody in the Dolphins needs to lose their job. I'm going to need to see that for this to be the case. Because otherwise, I really don't know what you want to happen, because you're all telling me you fired somebody who you guys had the right to, because you said he didn't do his job great. That guy doesn't work for the Dolphins. So I don't know what the team is supposed to do. And then are you supposed to blame the player and the coach because the coach should have not believed his player that he wanted to go out there and play? I really am upset by what happened, because I wanted, you know, I would never want to see what happened to Tua happen. And, you know, I think the biggest reason what happened is the fact that he had to play a football game in 3 days and he wasn't all the way healthy, back, head, ankle, whatever the hell it was. But I still, as the days go by with this, you know, everybody just wants to kind of find somebody to be mad at with this. And it's just like, you're being mad at a sport that this can happen to. It just happened to happen to a very famous, beautiful face.
Yeah, on national TV, and the optics of it were so, the shock factor, right, is I think what really got to everybody. Tobin, all the hot takes that have been coming out, every head coach was asked about this. I was surprised. Typically, the head coaches in the NFL, it almost always seemed like a brotherhood, right? Like, they always had their back. And Mike McDaniel coming in, he's highly regarded across the league. Everybody who's crossed paths with him has nothing to say but positive things. I was really surprised. Is he like Bill Belichick? Not that he took a direct shot, and not really that he was calling for his job. It wasn't to that extent, but, you know, saying that he's in those situations, done what's best for the player. And then you have those stories of Gronkowski saying, you know, he doesn't remember half the games he's played in either. So there's a lot of hypocritical comments coming out of head coaches over the past couple of days.
I did find the Belichick thing interesting, but here's the thing that Belichick's leaving out of that story. Because I happened to do a radio show with one of his former players that he actually did this to. This happened in the early 90s. There were no concussion protocols. So it's a beautiful thing for Belichick to do that he didn't think that, you know, his player was medically all the way there. Maybe he's done it in the early, you know, in the days after, although pretty sure Wes Welker, Dolphins wide receiver coach, got lit up quite a few times as a New England Patriot. Pretty sure.
Yeah,
he had to wear a giant helmet by the end of his career.
There's a pretty good documentation about Wes Welker taking some hits right up the middle of the field, getting laid out, and he was right back in the game a couple minutes later.
But Harbaugh was the one I was like, That one was the one I was like, wow, John Harbaugh, really? Like, what's your deal there, dude?
Yeah, well, hey, Harbaugh, how about you focus on winning a game in the fourth quarter? How about you settle down with the comments about Mike McDaniel, about concussions? How about you stop blowing leads in the fourth quarter to AFC East teams? All right, Harbaugh?
How about you keep it when you're up three scores, don't lose those games?
Not that hard, Harbaugh.
It's not that hard. It's not that hard, but, you know? Just like, come on, dude, figure it out. It's ridiculous. So I don't know, man. I am curious because I want to see, you know, I'm curious of the drama, but like, yeah, it sucks. The Dolphins feel like they're always in the middle of these investigations. Like,
yeah,
either a tamping investigation, a bullygate investigation. Now it's a concussion investigation. Like, I was just enjoying football this year. I was finally just enjoying football. The team was fun. Tyreek Hill, amazing. This team is like the most explosive team in the NFL. And you know, now it's ruined by, you know, there's a bunch of party poopers.
Yeah, it's a big cloud over the team now. You're right. The Dolphins always seem to be in the national spotlight for the wrong reasons. And finally, that changed this year. Finally, they were in the national spotlight, maybe again for the wrong reasons because everybody was doubting Tua. But once he proved them wrong in weeks 1, 2, and 3, that changed. The discourse changed. All the talk, all the dialogue was positive. Tua is making the most of this. Mike McDaniel, he's kind of found a way to maximize Tua. Obviously, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. What Baldy call them? The Blur Brothers?
The Blur Brothers.
I don't hate it, Tobin. I don't hate it.
So you're coming around on it. You're coming around on it.
I don't hate it.
Because I saw an article on they were like, and they're calling them the Blur Brothers. And I'm like, they are? I was very confused. So I like looked up Waddle Blur Brothers, and the guy I saw was Baldy. I was like, so this person just kind of ran with a Baldy, whoever's running for USA Today Dolphins, like just kind of ran with it. Good for them.
Safadine?
It wasn't Safadine. No, it wasn't. It was whoever their blogger is. Because I think Safadine's their national guy. But like,
right.
I was like, look, I was like, they are calling them the Blur Brothers? I wasn't aware. I must have missed that one. What is your prediction for this week, my friend? What do you have? Dolphins, Jets, week 5. What do you think goes down?
Yeah, I'm going to say low-scoring game. Not like the trash we saw last night on Thursday Night Football low-scoring.
Oh,
let's pray for anything but that. But, Tobin, let's be 100% honest about this Dolphins offense. As great as they've been, as electrifying as they've been, other than that fourth quarter against Baltimore, they haven't really been putting up points like one of the most electrifying teams in the NFL, right? I've seen a lot of people say that, and I do think it is fair. Can't take away a fourth quarter, right? You can't just take away 4 touchdowns in a quarter and say, what else have they done? I don't think that's fair either. But now you add the element of a lot of players are banged up. You add the element of Tua not playing. Teddy Bridgewater's in for the first time. You're on the road. New York, hyped up. They feel like they've got something now. Robert Saleh, he's never been happier, and he feels so grateful that his team's not 0-4 because he was telling all the reporters he's taking notes.
He's got receipts.
So the Jets are coming in, you know, on their high horse. That's fine. But good old-fashioned Jets-Dolphins matchup, low scoring, in the 20s, in the teens. Dolphins pull it out. The more experienced team, they've got the veterans, they've got the better playmakers. I think it comes down at the end. And very long-winded there, but I got the Dolphins by 6 points, baby.
Wow. All right. I'm with you. I don't think it's going to be a high scoring game either, but I don't know. For me, whatever reason, I think it's going to be like, I think they're going to embarrass the Jets on defense. I feel like this is a defense embarrasses Zach Wilson, brings him to earth type of day. You know, I'm thinking like 21-10, you know,
with a pick six
in there. I'm feeling pick six, snowman, you know, does something dynamic, and Zach Wilson's, you know, looking for his favorite MILF. I don't know. that's what I feel like it's going to go down. I feel like they handle the Jets, but I'm with you. I don't think it's a very high scoring game either.
Yeah. I hope there's a lot of MILFs from Miami coming up to the Meadowlands. Make things as hard as possible.
Just got to distract them, dude. You got to do whatever you can. MILFs unite out there. All right. Dolphin MILFs, you do what you do. Distract Zach Wilson. All right. Do it for the team.